This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Father God, we ask that you would speak to us now. We pray that you would convict us of your truths and that we'd be transformed by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's great to be speaking to you today. My name is Travis Cook and I'm a student minister here at St. John's. And I wonder what you think it takes to be clean. In my house, I have a philosophy I tend to live by, that there are two states the house can be in. There's dirty and there's clean. If there are some dirty dishes in the kitchen, well, the kitchen's no longer tidy. It makes no difference whether there are some or many dirty dishes. The kitchen isn't tidy. But if it's going to be made tidy, then it needs to be made 100% clean, or else it's still dirty, it's still messy. And I can be a little bit pedantic, what some married to me might call obsessive. Things like utensils going head down into the dishwasher so that when you get them out, you're not putting your fingers on the parts that will go into people's mouths. If it's clean, it should remain 100% clean. And my wife, of course, doesn't always appreciate this logic. And particularly with a baby around the house now, almost nothing is always 100% clean. And there is so much cleaning up after a baby. You might already be aware of this, but this was a rude awakening to me becoming a father. There's a mouth that needs constant wiping, a nose that needs constant wiping, a bottom that, well, you get the picture, right? There's a lot of cleaning to be done. And it's definitely been a big step for me to come to terms with the fact that my beautiful little girl is in a constant state of uncleanliness. But I wonder what you think it makes, what makes us unclean as far as God is concerned. As far as a holy and pure and perfect God is concerned, what makes us unfit to have anything to do with him, including having a relationship with him now and being fit for heaven, which by all accounts is a perfect place where nothing unclean, nothing impure as far as sin is concerned, can exist there. What makes us unclean as far as God is concerned, and what does it take for us to be made clean? Well, in the passage that was read to us before from Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law, the super religious types of Jesus' day, they come to Jesus. They see that some of the disciples were eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. And then in verse 5, we see that they ask Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" And you might be thinking, well, yeah, that's not a bad question. This is hygiene 101, Jesus. You wash before you eat. But the Pharisees weren't asking about the disciples' physical health. No, they were asking about their spiritual health. See, the concept of washing hands before entering into God's presence was given to priests in Exodus 30 and 40. And the Pharisees promoted a concept of the priesthood of all believers. If it's good enough for the priests, then it's good enough for us. And so they had this rule that everyone needed to wash their hands in a kind of ritual before they ate food so that they weren't made spiritually unclean by the food they ate. And they did this a lot. They had their own rules that they created and upheld that were intended to help people obey God. I mean, you've got to break one of these human rules before you break a really important God rule. And so it's like they put up a fence around God's laws to stop people from even coming close to breaking them. And it might sound like a good thing, but Jesus points out the serious danger these Pharisees had fallen into quite directly, Jesus responds in verse 6, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Such a harsh term, isn't it? You hypocrites. When Isaiah said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And then he says to them, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. You are not fulfilling the law. They're fulfilling tradition and man-made rules. Rules that were made to benefit people ended up taking them away from the whole point of the rule. And Jesus gives an example in verses 9 to 12 where he says, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Moses said to you, honor your mother and father, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. It's so serious that you are put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might have otherwise got from me, well, that's devoted to God, what they call Corban. And then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. I mean, you shouldn't break a promise that you made to God. But he says in this way, you nullify the word of God by your own tradition. You've got the command of God to honor your mother and father, the command of God not to give false testimony. And you said, well, if you've devoted that to Corban, you can't do this other thing. And so they have let go of one of the commands of God to hold on to human traditions. And Jesus is saying that they have got it all wrong. As far as cleansing is concerned, they are trying to cleanse themselves from the outside. This rule from the Pharisees about all people washing their hands has totally lost the point to God's requirements for cleanliness. And so, as well as telling the Pharisees that they'd got it wrong, he then turns to address the crowd and corrects their teaching. He calls the crowd to him and says, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. This would have been such a great sense of freedom to people hearing this. See, as I said, the Pharisees were the super religious types. They had rules upon rules upon rules to make sure that everyone was staying a distance from the law. They didn't break the law at all. But in order to keep every single one of these rules, you basically had to become a Pharisee. It's the only way you could do this full time, living out as a Pharisee. And so people hearing this, who know that they hadn't been living that well and weren't Pharisees, there must have been such a great sense of freedom. And the disciples surely felt it. After he left the crowd, in verse 17, he entered the house. The disciples asked him about this parable. Tell us more, Jesus. This is great. I don't have to wash my hands after every single time that I've touched something unclean before eating all this food. You mean nothing outside can make me unclean? This is fantastic. And then Jesus turns to them and calls them dull. He says, don't you get it? It's not what goes into a person that makes them unclean. It's about what comes out of a person. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. Yeah, we heard you say that, Jesus. Nothing that goes into us can make us unclean. This is great. This is really good. Tell us more. And then he went on and said, well, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. Yeah, tell us about that. What do you mean by what comes out of a man? Well, Jesus says it's from within, out of men's hearts that come. And here he starts to make a bit of a list of a few things in case anyone thought he wasn't talking about them. Out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Whoa. See, Jesus' response to the Pharisees and to his disciples wasn't to say that his disciples didn't need to do this ritual washing because they were already clean. No, he was saying that nobody is clean. See, if sin comes from the heart and makes a person unclean, and this list covers quite a range of sins, then all hearts are unclean. Ironically, the Pharisees had asked the one person, Jesus, who never sinned his entire life, one undefiled and clean person, why his disciples didn't do what they did to make themselves clean. So what makes us unclean as far as God is concerned? Well, there's a problem with the heart. All of us. And I challenge anyone listening to confidently say that Jesus wasn't talking about them. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice or meanness, deceit, lewdness or profanity, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly or foolishness. And just like my household philosophy, where all it takes is just a little bit of dirt for the whole thing to no longer be clean, all it takes is just a little bit of sin to be impure and unworthy of relationship with a holy and pure God. So I wonder if, like the Pharisees, you've been trying to make yourself clean from the outside. It's so easy to do. It really is. It's so easy to create our own fences, to make up our own rules so that we can feel clean before God. And we can do this with the best intentions. I've heard a great analogy of a parent wanting what's best for their child to not get hit by a car. So I think, okay, we need a rule here. Don't play on the street. Well, that's pretty obvious. Just play in the front yard. There we go. Play in the front yard. Don't get hit by a car. Well, actually, if they're playing in the front yard, then maybe their ball might roll out onto the road and they'll chase it and get hit by a car. So I need to be stricter than that. Okay, the rule is play in the living room. That's the rule. Well, you know what? It's a really nice day outside and we've got that window in the front of our living room. They might look outside and want to play out there and then the ball and the road. Okay, the rule is play in your bedroom. And so the parent who wants to do what's best for their child, best intentions, ends up creating a rule that is so far removed from what is good and helpful, just becomes oppressive and unhelpful. And maybe you've created some really good and well-intentioned rules, and seemingly godly rules too. Like rule, read your Bible 1 hour every day. Rule, always wear your Sunday best to church. Put up a fence. Here we go. Maybe let's try not to say anything mean or crude. Let's do a swear jar. Has anyone heard of a swear jar before? Yeah, they're interesting concepts. If you don't know what it is, you make a rule in your household that no one can say anything profane or swear, and everyone dobs everyone in, and you put some money in a jar, and at the end of the month, you can buy a new movie or TV, depending on how the month went. And we can do that. We can create our own rules and put up our own fences around our speech and our actions. And don't get me wrong, they can be really helpful things. But we need to be careful of Jesus' rebuke, who says, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So you can try as hard as you like to monitor your behavior. But the problem is so much deeper than that. The problem is in our hearts. And you know it. You know those times when we slip up, maybe a time of weakness when we're tired or not thinking straight, an offense that we've put up comes down, a barrier comes down, or one of our rules, our own rules, is broken without knowing it. And then something just comes out. Ever had that thought where you go, "Where did that come from? That's not like me." Well, Jesus says all these evils come from inside a person, from our hearts, and make us unclean. So if we need to be cleansed from the inside, our hearts, not on the outside, well, what does that mean? And Jesus doesn't give the solution here in this passage. See, Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. And we read in Hebrews chapter 9, oddly enough, of blood that cleanses. Blood that cleanses. See, blood would be a terrible external cleansing product. But blood is the perfect internal cleansing product. In Hebrews chapter 9, from verse 13, it says, in the Old Testament, the blood of goats and bulls and ashes and heifer sprinkled, ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death? How much more so from Christ? In verse 15, so that through his death, it sets us free from our sins. It's not the acts that we do or the barriers that we put up. It's simply what has been done for us through Christ. And how perfect that cleansing is. The one pure person that has ever existed, Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life and gave up that life on the cross. He took the judgment for our sin so that we might appear before God clean and pure, without sin, without blemish. So the solution is so much simpler than ritual cleansing of your hands. It's so much more complete than creating fences and human rules. And it brings a permanent solution to the problem of our uncleanliness. Give your heart to God. The solution is to give your heart to God. And it will be washed in the blood of Christ. And it will be made clean. Isn't that amazing? And it's your whole heart. Don't just give God lip service by saying you will, but then holding back. Or maybe just giving God a piece of your heart. Or else Jesus' words could be spoken to you, "Surely you honor me with your lips, but your heart, your whole heart, is far from me." Well, maybe it's time you did a spring clean. Whether this is the first time you've heard that Jesus is the solution to the problem of our hearts, or whether you've been living as a Christian with your lips but you know that your heart is far from God. Don't be like the Pharisees, making up rules and building fences around God's commands. They're not making you clean. They're only keeping you at a distance. There's nothing you can do to make yourself clean and pure before God. It's already been done for you. So give your heart to God. He is the only one that can make you clean. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would come into our lives. Lord, we ask that you would take our hearts with all of its imperfections, impurities, its uncleanliness, Lord, and would you wash it and make it clean. We thank you so much for sending your dear son Jesus, that we might be given a clean and pure heart, that we might be in relationship with you now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.